Welcome to Missionary Talks, where we talk with missionaries and learn about their lives and work. Today we're talking with Shane Rice, missionary to Peru. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning.
Let's see, you're coming out of winter there in Peru, so is it pretty cold?
No, it's pretty mild climate here. It doesn't really get cold or hot where we're at right now.
And where are you?
We're in Cajamarca, Peru, which is to the north. It sits in the mountains. The elevation keeps the temperatures down as well, so you wouldn't get as hot as you think you should at this close to the equator.
Do you have snow during the winter?
No, we don't have snow during the winter either, because we're so far north that it really doesn't get too cold. During the nights, it might drop, because you have a clear, open sky, it might drop to around maybe 45, 50, so it doesn't even get cold enough to freeze here.
And what would the temperatures get up to during the summer?
I believe it's around 70, 75. And even during their winter time, the temperatures are about the same because it's just completely open sky. It's sunny all day long. During our summertime, it's kind of a rainy season.
Now, how much rain do you get? I know on the coast, like in Lima, they don't get much rain at all. How much rain would you get there in Cajamarca?
Well, from what I'm told, we get rain quite a bit. I've not been here through a rainy season yet, but I'm told that it starts around this time, and it'll rain, and it's not like Lima. Lima, they call a rain where it mists a little bit, kind of sprinkles, they call that rain. But here, you get a downpour. I mean, we've already seen several downpours where it just rains. There's thunder and lightning and things like that, just a good old-fashioned storm.
Very good. Now you talk like you've been there in Cajamarca just a short time. How long have you been there?
Right. We've only been here since July, back into Peru. Before, we were in Peru for 3 years, and then went home on furlough, and we just got back.
Tell me a little bit about why you're in Peru. Why did you go to Peru as opposed to somewhere else?
Well, really, we came to Peru because the Lord led us here, for one thing. I had the opportunity coming to Peru the very first time in 1994, right after I graduated from high school. A missionary had invited me to come down here, and I was very much so praying about missions at that time. I wasn't for sure, but while I was here, I knew for sure God called me to be a missionary. And after that, I went back. I went to Bible college and really prayed about it, and the Lord led us just to come back to Peru.
You were in Peru for 3 years. You've been back on furlough. How long have you been on the field then? Has it just been the 3 years and a couple months?
Right, just 3 years and a couple months.
And what language do they speak in Peru?
Spanish is the spoken language. It's the primary language here.
Primary language. Is there another language?
There are a few other languages. Quechua would be the secondary language. It is spoken by a lot of the mountain people. It's kind of a dying language, I want to say, because the majority of the people that speak it are older people. And the younger generation, they know it enough to talk to their parents, but they also know Spanish. That's probably the official second language. And then in the jungle side of Peru, there's also other languages.
Now, Quechua, does it sound a lot different than Spanish, or is it similar?
No, it's way different. I know a few words, Niawi, Sanka. I forget what they are. It's like eye and nose and something like that. I get them confused.
Sanka is coffee.
Right, that's why I remember that one. And Niawi, I always thought, man, if you poke yourself in the eye, that hurt. Niawi.
There you go. Here in Mexico, where I live, there is a lot of Maya still spoken. But what you'll sometimes see, and it's quite humorous, is that the older person will speak Maya, and then the younger person will speak back to them in Spanish. And they'll carry on a conversation in both languages because they both understand each other, but would prefer to speak in their own language. Do you see that with Quechua and Spanish there?
I'm sure it takes place, although my experiences with Quechua are very limited. At one point, I really, really wanted to learn it, and I still would kind of like to learn it, but I just don't have very much opportunity. I don't run into it a lot.
You speak Spanish then. Where did you go to language school?
We spent a year in language school down in Arequipa, Peru.
Was it a school or a tutor? How did you do that?
Well, it was kind of both. It was a school, and they also had they hired pastors, local pastors of the churches, to come in and to basically tutor you. We had class every day from 8 o'clock in the morning till noon, and then the rest of the day was off after that. Usually I'd find a Spanish person at the church to spend time with so that I could talk and practice the Spanish.
So it was a religious setting that you learned Spanish in?
Yes, very much so. That matter of fact, I would say that was probably one of the benefits. I look back now, and it was a great help to us because we had to memorize all the books of the Bible in Spanish, and Deuteronomy in Spanish was horrid to say,
yes.
And it took me forever, but we did get it down. We spent the first hour of the day just reading the Bible. The first couple weeks, we only got through about, I'd say, maybe 10 verses because they stopped us and corrected us on every single word because we didn't pronounce it right.
Anything that you've said in Spanish that was inappropriate or maybe elicited a laugh because of saying something in a wrong way?
Yeah, there's several. One is I was in church. I was giving announcements, and I was talking about Mother's Day that was coming up. And I said, so, you know, everybody, I want them to bring their mom to church. And if you pronounce mom in Spanish, the word for mom is in Spanish is mamá. And if you say it with the emphasis on the wrong syllable, you end up saying just the nursing mothers. And when I said it that day, I said, you know, everybody bring all your nursing mothers to church with you. So they all got a kick out of that.
Very good. Very good. Can you quote for us then in Spanish, John 3:16?
Juan 3:16. Porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo que ha dado a su Hijo unigénito para que todo aquel que en él cree no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna.
Very good. What's something interesting that your family has done there in Peru for recreation, either there in Cajamarca or in Lima where you were before?
In Cajamarca here, we've gone to two different places. We've gone to Porcon. It's really a neat area. It's a Christian town. When you drive into there, you see verses posted all along the road. And when they have tourists come in, because tourists come in to that area all the time, the tourist groups that take them in there, they know they're not allowed to bring any alcohol, they're not allowed to bring any cigarettes or anything like that. And you go into there, they've got a very beautiful area. I like nature and I like outdoor stuff. So for me, it's great. We go out there, we go hiking, and they've got a lot of animals. It's kind of like a mini zoo. They've got bears and birds and all kinds of stuff there. So we look at the animals, and our kids love that. The other thing we did is we've gone to Cumbamayo, which is it's one of those outdoor hiking places, and it's got great big rock formations all over, and greatly enjoy that.
What did you do before becoming a missionary?
Well, I worked in a sign shop while I was in Bible college. After I got out of Bible college, basically I worked at the church as a custodian for a year or two, and then after that I started out on deputation to be a missionary.
Mm-hmm. Who's your main people group? What's the focus of your ministry?
The focus is to start hearing churches here in Peru, but then also Lord's really put on my heart to work with the deaf as well and to make all of our churches capable of reaching out to the deaf and doing the best we can with that as well.
So you know sign language?
Yes, we learned that in Lima.
Is the sign language different there in Peru than it is in the United States?
They say it's about 60%. The same. I never learned sign language in the U.S., so I don't know American sign language. I learned all my sign language in Peru. When we have visitors come and they're deaf and I try and talk to them, they mostly understand me, but there's several signs that are just different.
Mm-hmm. Can you share with us a testimony of someone who's been saved or maybe just a general testimony yourself? Something you'd like to share in that arena?
When I was in Peru, in Nevada, in Lima before, this is really how the Lord touched my heart as far as the deaf people. We were there, I was pastoring the church while the other missionary was away in the States. We had a fella come in, his family brought him to church there because they knew we had a deaf church. He came there and they dropped him off, said we'll pick him up later. They didn't know. They said he didn't know signs or anything, and so he came in and talking with him, it was unbelievable because the guy was probably about 30 years old, I imagine. you know, I looked at him and I tried to sign to him, and just signing to him, he just copied everything I did. He didn't know any signs at all. And so a couple of the deaf tried to write a note and show it to him, and he couldn't read, and he couldn't write. And man, it really broke my heart after he left that day, and the next day or so, I was just thinking about it, and it really broke my heart to look at him and think, this guy is about 30 years old. He's never communicated with anybody in his life. He can't read. He can't write. He really doesn't know anything. And then I thought, and I'm responsible to get the gospel to this guy. How am I supposed to do that if he can't even read and write? And he's got a lot that we'd have to teach him before we can ever get him the gospel. And it really broke my heart because there's deaf all over Peru that are like that, that have nobody to reach them, and they can't read or write, and many of them know very little signs, or if they know any at all. And I've run into deaf here in Cajamarca that are the same way. They just know very, very few signs.
What was the results of that man visiting? Did he ever come back? How much were you able to teach him?
No, unfortunately, he was gone. I was not there when his family dropped him off, and I wasn't there when they picked him up. We never got an address, and we never did see him again. You know, you wonder, where did he ever go? Whatever happened to him? And it could be he lived way on the other side of Lima. Really, I don't know.
Can you share with us a Bible verse that has been maybe a guiding verse for you or your life's verse?
My life's verse is Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I won't quote it all, but really, that phrase right there, a living sacrifice, has been my life's verse because of that phrase, for one thing. Somebody once said, you know, the problem with a living sacrifice is that it keeps getting up off the altar, and you got to keep putting it back on the altar. And, man, that's so true with our lives.
Very good. Do you have children?
Yes, we have five children. They're Rachel and Rebecca. They're 7 years old, and they're twins. And then Micah and Mariah, they're 5 years old. They're twins as well. And then Charity, she's 2 years old. She was born in Lima, Peru.
Very good. So you have a basketball team there.
Just about.
Then, based on how long you've been on the field and the ages of your children, you're about 30 years old?
Right. Yep.
As far as education for your children, how are y'all educating them? Are they in a school?
Well, in Lima, we kind of had it nice in one regard because there was a missionary school there, a Baptist missionary school, and so we were able to take our kids there every day to schooling. Since then, here there's no Christian school. There is a school that even teaches in English, and it's a very decent school. However, it's for the minors that are here, and the cost is about $800 a month. And so there's no way we could send our kids there. So my wife homeschools our children, and she's been doing a good job of that.
A school for minors. What kind of mines do you have there?
In Cajamarca, we have one of the best producing gold mines in South America, to my understanding. And there's a lot of miners from the U.S. and from Canada and from different places.
Can you tell us something about Peru that maybe we wouldn't know otherwise?
One of the things, I guess, that I could say is that it's a very diverse country. It has, on one side, it's all jungle and hot rainforest. It rains all the time. It's just like any jungle you'd see on TV, the rainforest there. Right down the middle of the country runs the Andes Mountains. They're very high. Matter of fact, it makes it difficult to get all the natural produce and the natural goods from the jungle side to the coastal side. As a result, it's very difficult for Peru to export stuff. But you have the Andes Mountains. That's a completely different culture of people altogether. And then all along the coast is all dry desert, and it's just another culture of people as well.
Now you're in the mountains, so you're how far from the coast?
We are 4 to 5 hour drive over to the coastal side.
Do the mountains cut the country completely, so there's no real easy pass from the jungle to the coast?
Right, they completely divide the country in two parts.
Okay, well, thank you, Shane. It's been nice talking to you. I appreciate your time, and we look forward to talking to you again in the future.
All right, no problem. Thanks.
Visit the Rice family website at ricestoperu.com to learn more. That's Rices, the number 2, Peru.com. You've been listening to Missionary Talks with David Peach. Please visit us at missionarytalks.com.